Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner, and today I'm going to be doing a review of both 2021's Dune Part 1 and 2024's Dune Part 2, both directed by Denis Villeneuve, and I'm going to give you my full thoughts right after this. So I decided to review both of these movies together because it's kind of hard to talk about one without the other. It's really, instead of Dune Part 1 and then Dune Part 2 as the sequel, it's really like 1 5.5 hour story that's where it's really two episodes of like a TV show, because it's kind of more like Lord of the Rings or Kill Bill. They're really viewed best as one complete story instead of two or three films. And really because the first movie just kind of stops in the middle of the story, and Dune Part 2 picks up minutes, if not seconds, after the first one stops. So it's really, like I said, just one complete movie. So both of these films, I try to think of one word. The best one word that describes both of these films is operatic. They are astounding. Both of them are a cinematic accomplishment that I don't think we have seen since Lord of the Rings, where it tells this huge, engrossing, overarching story over multiple films. And I think that Christopher Nolan and the whole Oppenheimer team are very lucky that Dune Part 2 in particular was pushed off of its original November of last year release date because of the strikes and was released in March. It would have been so interesting to see Dune Part 2 and Oppenheimer go up against each other in the Oscars this year, or this past year. Oscars just happened just like a week or two ago, because I definitely think Dune Part 2 would have given Oppenheimer a run for its money in Best Picture, and definitely would have won a couple of the Oscars that Oppenheimer won, particularly Best Score. In my opinion, Dune Part 2, along with Part 1, is some of Hans Zimmer's best work, particularly in Part 2. It's so engaging and so emotionally stirring. It's almost overwhelming in a good sense. It doesn't overshadow what's happening in the story or what's happening on screen, but it's Hans Zimmer has a way of... He likes, this is going to sound weird, but he likes sound. Whereas John Williams is more like melodic and more, this is going to sound weird, but more musical in a sense. Where it's like Hans Zimmer picks up and latches on to sounds and so just repeats those sounds and it creates a tone. And in both of these movies, Dune 1 and Dune 2, he just envelops you in this kind of magical experience as you're watching the movie. It just completely enhances everything that's going on. There's a few other things that I just want to focus on. It's going to seem like I'm talking more about Dune 2. I think it's the superior film to Dune 1, but that's because more happens in Dune 2. Dune 1 is all set up. One of my friends described Dune 1 as boring Tremors. I don't understand how you can think Dune 1 is boring. You have to really pay attention because the story is dense. It's like Game of Thrones or something like that, where there's, backstabbing and betrayal, and the betrayers betray each other. And it's very intricate, the story that's being told between these characters, and all the political machinations and everything that's going on behind the scenes. And that is still there in Dune 2, but there's more action in Dune 2. There's more, fight sequences and battle sequences and, all of that. So Dune 2 is more balanced in that aspect between the kind of quiet moments, the side moments where, the story is developing, and the payoffs for people's actions. It's not space battles, but sci-fi action. There's a lot of that in Dune 2, where Dune 1 is mostly just all set up. But I think, one of the things that really elevates both of these films is the cinematography by Greg Fraser. I'm just going to run down a list of some of the movies that he's been the cinematographer on, because he has an impressive resume. So Dune 1 and Dune 2, obviously. The Creator from last year. The Batman. He did 3 episodes of The Mandalorian. He did Vice, the Dick Cheney movie. Rogue One, Foxcatcher, Zero Dark Thirty. He's shot some of these beautifully shot films where it's the... he has this way of saturating color on the screen, particularly in Dune 2. There's lots of oranges and lots of earth tones, yellows, to kind of reflect the sands in the sun of Arrakis. And it's gorgeously shot. And then there's one sequence where it's the black and white sequence on Gedi Prime, with, it's the homeworld of the Harkonnens, and it's the fight sequence with Austin Butler and the Colosseum. It's that had the potential of being too over the top, and being shot in black and white the way that it is. But, because Gedi Prime is a world where its sun is black, It's a black sun, so it illuminates everything kind of in reverse. Blacks look white, and whites look black, and just the lighting from the black sun, that's what it would look like. Everything would look black and white, and it was just, it's an incredibly shot sequence, and it's just so interesting, visually interesting to look at, and there's lots of moments like that throughout this movie. The knife fight at the end, where it's just all the shadows and, like I said, the orange colors reflecting the sun and all of that. It's just so incredible. And so it's a visual feast. And a lot of that is definitely due to the cinematography of Greg Fraser. I would expect him to get nominated for Best Cinematography at the Oscars for 2024's films. But I'll get to that. There's some other visual effects. Is that there's a lot of visual effects that are really that are invisible, and much like a makeup artist, when visual effects are invisible, it's almost like it's better. The best thing you can say to a visual effects artist or a makeup artist is that it looks real. I can't tell that it's makeup, or I can't tell that it's computer graphics or that it's visual effects. It just looks real. And there's a lot of that in both of these movies. The performances in both films, especially from Timothy Chalamet, you can see him really embody this character of Paul Atreides, especially in Dune 2, where it's really his transition from boy to man. And it's really, you can really see how George Lucas was influenced by this character to create Luke Skywalker and Anakin Skywalker. Paul Atreides has traits of both of them. and it's just like this overarching story of him going from the kid on Caladan, his home planet, not really being well trained or being kind of sheltered or naive, to where he ends up at the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but where he ends up at the end of Dune 2, he's full on a grown man and making his own decisions, whether you like them or not. He has fully come into his power as this heir to the Atreides name. And it's just so interesting to watch. And Timothy Chalamet's performance, I mean, he's a bona fide superstar at this point, you know, with Wonka from last year doing so well, and then Dune 2, you know, doing so well now. He's gonna be one of the most sought after young actors for a long time. And this is really, I mean, he's been nominated before. He was nominated for Call Me By Your Name a few years ago, and that's really where I was first introduced to him. But he really has come into his own as one of the best young stars in Hollywood throughout that time with Dune 1, and like I said, with Wonka, and now with Dune 2. He's fully established as one of the best young actors in Hollywood today. There's Javier Bardem in Dune 2 is my favorite character. He plays this guy, this kind of religious fanatic that is kind of pushing Paul to become the Messiah to these people. And he doesn't really have a lot to do. He kind of just shows up a little bit in the first one, kind of more so towards the end of Dune 1. But he's full on like one of the main supporting characters in Dune 2, and he adds a much needed comic relief. Like, he has some legitimately funny lines in Dune 2, and his performance is great in Dune 2 as well. Like I said, of Dune 1 and Dune 2, he's great throughout the whole. But in Dune 2, he's probably one of the most interesting and dynamic characters. Just the sounds that he makes, kind of like the signals that he makes to the other Fremen with his voice. I don't know if those were improvised, but every time he's like sending secret messages with these different noises, it seems like he's just making them up on the spot. I don't know if those were improvised, but he seems like the kind of guy that would do something like that just to make it fun and interesting for him. So I really loved his performance as well. There's this Dune 2 specifically, I think, benefits from repeat viewings. I think it's almost necessary, and is preferred for me for a movie like this because it's so dense. The first time I saw it, I was trying to kind of keep up with the story. But I've seen it twice since then. So I've seen it three times already, and it's just each time I watch it, the story gets a little bit more clear. Not that it's muddled, but it's just, there's just so much going on, and there's so much political intrigue, like I said, and backstabbers stabbing other backstabbers in the back, and, you know, everyone betraying each other, and everything, people switching sides and stuff. It's just like those political machinations, if you're not really locked in, I can understand why some people would, especially with Dune 1, I can understand why people would say that it's a little boring or a little slow. But that's, you know, that's, it's just be patient, stick with it, and it all gets paid off in Dune 2 for sure. I'm currently reading the book. I had never read the book. I wasn't really a big Dune fan. You know, I had heard of it. I knew that it had some strong influences on George Lucas and, you know, how he kind of came up with the story for Star Wars and how it kind of influenced him to do Star Wars, the original Frank Herbert book. But I want to read, now that I've seen both movies, I'm not afraid of getting spoiled. So I'm reading the book, and I want to read ahead to the next one, Dune Messiah, the third, or it's the second book, but it would be the third movie. Because I want to get both experiences of, not reading the book and then reading the book before I see the movies, because a lot of times I feel like I have an emotional attachment to whichever one I see first. Like with Harry Potter, I think I saw the first couple movies before I started reading the books. But then after that, every time a new movie or a new book came out, I would just read them all. So a lot of times I would be disappointed in the movies because it didn't match what was in my head when I read the books, or I felt like they just glossed over some important parts, or they cut parts out of the book that I thought that I was excited to see in the movie. But from what I'm about halfway through the book, and from what I can tell, these adaptations of the Dune novel, are pretty faithful, and I can see where it makes, they cut some things out, some scenes out, some scenes are more extended in the book than they are in the movies. And I can kind of see, it's interesting to see how they adapt, the story for the big screen, because it's a different skill than just writing an original screenplay, adapting a story from something that's previously been published, is definitely a different skill set. So, I just think it's interesting to see, and I would encourage everyone to read the book so you get a little bit more background, you get a little bit more insight into people's thoughts and personalities, which, you know, is obviously something you could do more so in a book than you can in a movie. You can't have, you know, someone just in a movie, you can't have someone just, having an inner monologue for 7 pages, you know, in a movie. You know, so there's just more that you can get out of the books, and it would inform some of the decisions that happen in the movie for these characters. So I'm excited to continue to read the books, and I think there's 5 or 6 books. I'm just going to read them all, because I think, you know, this is it's an interesting story. It's very intriguing, and I just enjoy it a lot. So potential awards for this movie. Like I said, it would have been so interesting to see Dune 2 in this past year's lineup of films, go head to head, especially with Oppenheimer. I think it would have made, I mean, this year's Oscar ceremony was great. I mean, you can listen to my previous episodes, about it. I think it was a couple episodes ago, about the Oscars. It was a great ceremony, but I think Dune 2 would have made the awards more interesting and more uncertain. Even if it didn't win a lot, I think going up against Oppenheimer and Barbie and The Holdovers and all these movies, you know, I think it would have been so much fun to see how close those races would have been. You know, I hope this movie gets nominated for all the awards, you know, picture, director, actor, supporting actor, actress, adapted screenplay, score, cinematography, hair and makeup, visual effects. Expect it to get at least considered in all of those categories, if not nominated. I know it's early, it's only March, but you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once came out in March, and it ended up winning Best Picture. It ended up winning all the awards. And release date at this point doesn't matter. You know, Oppenheimer came out in July. Everything Everywhere All at Once came out in March. You know, traditionally Oscar films come out in the fall, you know, October and beyond, October through December. But that's, I think that's completely, it's irrelevant now. If you've got the goods, people are going to remember when voting comes around, in, January, late December and January and all of that, when nominations are made. So definitely keep an eye out for it throughout this award season, throughout the summer, as everybody's talking about it. It just passed the, I just heard yesterday that it just passed Dune Part 2, just passed Dune Part 1 in box office in only 17 days. So this movie's going to make a lot of money. I hope it hits a billion. It might not, but it deserves to make all the money that it's going to make and then some. But thank you guys so much for listening. This is my review of Dune Part 1 and Part 2. I know we focused a little bit more on Part 2, but that's just because it's more recent. And like I said, it's the superior film. But thanks again so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes. I got my Dark Knight commentary track coming up. I'm going to continue that Christopher Nolan series, reviewing all of his films up until Oppenheimer, which I've already reviewed, but I'll just give a quick overview of it again when the time comes around. So subscribe for that and look out for those episodes coming down the road. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.